Today's sermon was born out of my own curiosity. Because a while ago, I got to thinking about how God is called the God of all comfort, and the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And yet there are times when God intentionally makes us uncomfortable. And so I wondered, well, when can we expect comfort from God, and when can we expect discomfort? Because it's helpful to know what to expect, so you don't get disillusioned when reality doesn't match your expectations. Maybe it's not so serious if it involves something like a store-bought dinner, but if it involves our expectations of God, it can be more serious. And if you expect that following God will make your life comfortable, well, you'll have some soul-searching to do when troubles and trials come your way. And so the basic question I will be exploring today is, when can we expect comfort from God, and when can we expect discomfort? Joy, I appreciate your good introduction to this topic so far, and the songs that you chose, Ben, as well. Well, first, let's take a look at when we can expect comfort. And it's in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, the passage that was already read for us, where God is called the God of all comfort. Let me read again just verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So God is the God of all comfort. And according to these verses, when can we expect to be comforted? It says, in all our troubles. I've already been introduced to Psalm 23, and it's a psalm of assurance that many people find comforting, and that's for good reason, especially verse 4, which says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So whenever we face times of trouble, we're often fearful because of what might happen. You know, the car might cost more to repair than I can afford, or the doctor says my symptoms may get worse instead of better, or my job may be eliminated and I'll have trouble finding another one. But over and over in the Bible, God tells people not to be fearful, not to be afraid. And when a reason is given not to fear, the reason over and over again is, I am with you. God told Joshua, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And a favorite verse of mine is Isaiah 41:10, which says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And again, back to Psalm 23, David says, I will fear no evil because you are with me. We should find it comforting that God will be with us, whatever we face. And Jesus himself said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And that's comforting. Back in Psalm 23, David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you know the purpose of a rod and a staff for a shepherd? The rod was kind of a fat, club-like stick, maybe a little bit like a baseball bat, that was used to beat off any predators. And so to a sheep, that rod meant protection. And the staff was a longer stick, sometimes with a curved crook on the end. The staff was used to guide sheep or to pull them back from danger. And so the rod and the staff were tools that David often used as a shepherd to guide and protect his sheep. And so when he says that God's rod and staff give him comfort, he means he's reassured because he knows that God is looking out for him like a caring shepherd. And so in times of trouble, we can expect God to comfort us with the assurance that he is with us, he will guide us, he will protect us. And another time we can expect God to comfort us is when we're grieving, when we're sorrowful. When Jesus began his ministry, he quoted Isaiah 61, And just beyond what Jesus has quoted in Luke 4, in Isaiah we have these words, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. Jesus also said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Years ago, when my parents died, it was comforting to know that death was not their end and that a better world lay ahead for them. And probably in a more personal way, we believe that Jesus grieves with us in our times of sorrow, like he mourned and wept with Mary and Martha when their brother and Jesus' good friend Lazarus died. And we believe that Jesus mourns with us in our times of loss. Isaiah 53, verse 4 says, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. And so it's in times of grief and in times of trouble we can expect God, the God of all comfort, to comfort us. But if we expect that God will make our lives comfortable, well, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. And let's turn our attention now to times when God intentionally makes us uncomfortable. I've identified five different things. There may be more. If you think of something I missed, let me know. But the five that I identified is that God sometimes makes us uncomfortable through guilt for our sin, through discipline, through distress over evil or suffering in the world. Sometimes God calls us out of our comfort zones to be a part of his mission. And God also calls us to show suffering love to others. So starting with the first point, the point of guilt. The Holy Spirit teams up with our own conscience and makes us feel guilty when we do something wrong. You could say that guilt is a pain in the mind because I'm troubled by what I did. Now, we're not talking here about false guilt, which is like, you know, feeling guilty for not meeting someone else's unrealistic expectations. We're talking about the guilt that we should feel when we do wrong. And the pain of guilt is actually a gift. It helps motivate us to change, to seek forgiveness, to make restitution, to seek reconciliation. And God offers to replace that pain of guilt with the comfort of forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And in Psalm 32, David describes his experience this way. He says, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Point number two. What if guilt doesn't motivate us to change? God may resort to discipline. In Revelation 3:19, Jesus says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. You who are parents know the necessity of loving and appropriate discipline. If our child lies or steals or hits, we apply some kind of negative consequences like a timeout or a loss of privileges, so they associate the discomfort of discipline with their action. And God disciplines us for our good, for our growth and our maturity. But there's a problem here, in that it's not always obvious to us when God is disciplining us. At least it's not always as obvious as it seems to be in the Bible, where sometimes it seems to be very clear that God is disciplining his people for one thing or another. In other words, if I come down with the flu or get a flat tire, is that God disciplining me? Or is it just some of the normal troubles and trials of life? You know, the flu or a flat tire don't come with a little label that says, this is God's discipline, or this is just one of life's many troubles. Often we don't know unless somehow it's revealed to us. And then Hebrews 12:7 says something interesting. It says, endure hardship like discipline. It seems to be suggesting we should treat the troubles and hardships of life as if they are discipline, even if they aren't, which is like kind of like saying, well, then just, you know, treat everything like it's discipline, which begs the question, well, what should we do when we are disciplined? And I would say the answer is turn to God with a heart that's open, seeking, willing to change if there's something wrong, and you can't lose if you do that, whatever the reason for what happened. Point number three, and you know, the first two points had to do with being uncomfortable because of our own sin, either through guilt or discipline. The third point has to do with being uncomfortable because of sin and evil and suffering in the world around us. Romans 12:9 says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. When you care about others like God does, it will pain you to see those you love make harmful and destructive decisions. And the world and national news will make you uncomfortable as you see and hear those who are suffering or abused and mistreated. Bob Pierce founded World Vision International. One of their big initiatives is child sponsorship. You can sponsor a child for $39 a month, and World Vision will see to it that they have adequate food and health care and education. The founder, Bob Pierce's motivation was his prayer, "Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God. Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." Jesus wept over Jerusalem and their hearts that were closed to what God wanted to do in them. On another occasion, we're told that Jesus was moved with compassion because the people were like sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus was uncomfortable with the fact that people were not being nurtured and protected and cared for. And he was moved to action. He healed, he taught, he forgave. On one occasion, Jesus entered the temple and was uncomfortable with what he saw. He became angry and he cleared out the money changers because they were overcharging people and interfering with worship and excluding the Gentiles. Many of you are uncomfortable with the fact that people in our own community are dealing with hunger or homelessness or addictions. And so you volunteer with New Hope Ministries or Bridge of Hope or Community Aid or the other ministries that we're involved with. And incidentally, I had that written into my sermon before I knew that Bridge of Hope is going to be here today, but I'm glad for that connection. One of the things that happens in us Christians is that we develop the mind of Christ. We think more and more like Jesus does and cares about what he cares about, and that moves us to action. Point number four. Another way that God makes us uncomfortable is by calling us out of our comfort zones. And God didn't create comfort zones in the first place. You won't read in Genesis, "And God said, let there be comfort zones, and there were recliners and comfort food and mellow music." Sorry, you won't find that in the 6 days of creation. Although there is rest on the seventh day, you know, it's hard to rest when you're not comfortable. But when Moses was asked by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he protested. He said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I've never been a good speaker. I'm slow in speech and tongue." So to Moses, the idea of going to confront Pharaoh obviously made him very uncomfortable. And when God called Gideon to lead the Israelites against the Midianites, he protested. He said, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the weakest or the least in my family. Or when God called Jonah to preach to Nineveh, he said, "I think a cruise to Spain on the Mediterranean would be more comfortable." And it wasn't. For us, being called to follow Jesus in itself is a call out of our comfort zones. Jesus said we should take the role of a servant. That can be uncomfortable. Did you ever wash someone's feet? Jesus said, if your brother or sister sins against you, go show them their fault just between the two of you. How many of you are comfortable doing that? It's probably why we don't do that very often. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. But I'm uncomfortable bringing up spiritual matters with some people. And I'm afraid of making them uncomfortable by what I say. I have a coworker who has some Christianity in his background, but not a what you would call an active faith at this point. And so I wondered, well, you know, what can I say to him? You know, I don't want to put him on the spot. And so one day I said to him, as a Christian, I consider myself to be a follower of Jesus and try to live and act like he did. You can help me. If I ever say or do anything that's unlike Jesus, you can call me on it. Now, I'm ashamed to tell you how long it took me to get up the nerve just to say that. But it did lead to a bit more of a conversation about what he believes. But you know, as followers of Jesus, I believe we are called at times to say things that make us uncomfortable. And maybe we shouldn't be so worried about making others uncomfortable. Because remember, it's discomfort that can lead to change. Now, we certainly don't want to offend people by being a jerk. But sometimes what we say or do may speak to someone's conscience with the help of the Holy Spirit and may help call them to Christ. Point number five. One other way that God makes us uncomfortable is God's call for us to show suffering love. In other words, love like Jesus loved, even when it's difficult or painful. Jesus endured the discomfort of the cross out of love for us. Now, I realize the word discomfort is an extreme understatement for the torture and agony Jesus has suffered. But it makes the point that sometimes we choose to suffer in order to show love to others. And it can range anywhere from mild discomfort to serious pain. Again, parents know this well, you know, suffering sleepless nights with a newborn baby, or later suffering through the hot sun or cold rain watching your child play a sport, or in our case, a marching band competition. But love puts up with suffering. A couple years ago, we were privileged to have Tony Campolo speak here on a Sunday evening. Tony taught at Eastern University, which is near Philadelphia. And I remember hearing him on another occasion where he talked about the ministry that he'd helped organize in inner city Philly. And he would recruit college students to help with the ministry during the summer. And Tony said that parents would call or come to his office complaining that it was too dangerous for their son and daughter to live and work in the inner city. And Tony observed that many Christians are willing to let their sons and daughters go into dangerous situations in service for our country, but not in service for God's kingdom. Do you remember Jesus saying that we should seek first the kingdom of God? The Apostle Paul tried to do that. And on one occasion, he listed all the hardships that he had endured. He faced all kinds of dangers, went without sleep, was hungry, thirsty, cold. He was stoned once. He was beaten at least 8 times, shipwrecked 3 times. I mean, talk about a suffering love. The Apostle Paul is a shining example. And Jesus calls us. He says, love one another as I have loved you. And sometimes that means the discomfort of suffering. Well, let me just summarize what I've been trying to say this morning. That first off, God is the God of all comfort. and the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. When we're experiencing trouble in life or grief and loss, we can count on God being there, comforting us, reassuring us, and helping us. God promises to be with us always. But we can also expect that God will respond to our sin with the discomfort of guilt, and if necessary, the pain of discipline to help get us on the right road. And we can expect that the heart and mind of Jesus in us will be troubled by the sin and evil and suffering around us, and we will be moved to action to do what we can do. And we can expect that there will be times when God calls us out of our comfort zones to follow Jesus' example and to join in his mission in the world. And sometimes that will mean a suffering love. You're well aware that we live in a world that seeks our own comfort and tries to avoid anything making us uncomfortable. I guess you could say that comfort is one of the gods of our age. You know, seek the most comfortable furniture, the most comfortable car, the most comfortable house, the most comfortable vacation spot. Not that God is against all pleasure and comfort, but we must not be ruled by them. And as followers of Jesus, we sometimes choose the uncomfortable way for the sake of God's kingdom. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Our God, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort, that in times of trouble and in times of grief, you are with us, consoling us, helping us, and giving us hope and reassuring us. And our God, we believe that you care about us enough to make us uncomfortable when we sin or are on the wrong path, that you do that through guilt or through discipline. And Lord, we pray that you will transform our hearts and minds so that we are troubled like you are by suffering and evil around us, and like Jesus, that we are moved to action. Jesus, call us out of our comfort zones to follow you and to join in your mission in the world. Forgive us when we've chosen our own comfort over following you. Help us to love like you love, even to the point of suffering. It's in your name we pray. Amen.